Nach Yomi for the Orthodox Union, Sefer Tehillim, the Book of Psalms, Perek Kufyud Gimel, Chapter 113. This is Rabbi Binny Marilis. Chapter 113 begins for us the section of Tehillim that we know as Hallel. There's Hallel HaGodol, there's Hallel HaMitzri. This is the Hallel HaMitzri, and directly connected, let's say, to the Yetzias Mitzrayim, to the leaving of Egypt. And it is the famous Hallel, prayers of praise of God, that we say on all of our holidays. And our approach will be to understand them just for their sake, each chapter, each paragraph, and perhaps to also offer some understanding vis-a-vis the Chagim. Although I can't guarantee that in each one, nor have the time necessary to do everything in depth. There's an incredible amount of material on these chapters, of course, whether they are commentaries on the Siddur, whether they are commentaries on Tanakh. We will not be able to cover all of them. We'll do our best. Even the Malbim, who we have quoted with great regularity, has a very unique approach to these Mizmorim, almost sort of breaking them up in a different manner than the chapter and verse that we use, breaking them up into sort of five different groupings, breaking them up in what we would typically understand to be the middle of chapters. So we'll do our best to bring in the Malbim when we can, but perhaps we'll focus more directly on the basic pshat and understanding and its relationship to our tefillos and to our Hallel. We begin with the Radak. Radak tells us at the beginning of Kufyud Gimel as follows. Kisheratz ledaber b'yitzias Mitzrayim, when it was that the Meshorah, the author, wanted to speak about Yitzias Mitzrayim, hechel begruasa el yisbarach sha'asaba olam, began with the great power and strength of God and what it is that he did in the world. Beretzonu lahagbiya ha'shefalim ulahashpil ha'givohim, with his desire and his will to raise up those who are low and to lower those who are high. Kimosha asa b'Yisrael u'b'Mitzrayim, as he did with Yisrael, with the Jewish people, and with the Mitzrayim, with the Egyptians. V'amar, and therefore he begins with Hallelujah. Right? Praise Hashem. V'amar shalosh pa'amim Hallelu. Three times it says Hallelu. Lomar shahilulim rabim anu chayavim lahalalo. There are many things that we have to offer as praises up to Hashem. Our chapter breaks down very nicely into three sections. Section 1 will entail verse 1, 2, and 3. Section 2 will be verses 4, 5, and 6. And section 3 will be verses 7, 8, and 9. Keep in mind that this is the first chapter of Hallel, and it's important to understand where it's beginning off from, where it's jumping off from, and we'll get to that as we go. Within section 1, as we've done before with structural analysis, you can clearly see how that would be a break. And the reason it is that you have a term that appears sort of three times in those verses and then doesn't appear again, and that is the word Shem Hashem. By virtue of that, we get the sense of what the stanza's breakpoint is, and we also get a sense very quickly as to what the text is about there. And that text is about Shem Hashem, and the notion of praising Hashem, calling to praise Hashem, the praising of Hashem at all times and in all places. So let's see it together. Hallelujah, hallu abdi Adonai, hallu es Shem Adonai. Offer praises, the servants of Hashem should offer praises of Hashem, right? They should offer praises of the name of Hashem, Halu Hashem Hashem. Yehi Shem Adonai Mivarach Me'ata V'Adolam. The name of God should be blessed for all time, from this time and forward, at all times. Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mivo'o Mehulal Shem Adonai. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the sun, God's name should be praised. So you have the sense of calling us out to praise Hashem at all times and in all places. And we can understand that verse 3 is sort of east to west, as an idea. And an understanding that here, the first thing we have to grasp is the idea that God is great. The name of Hashem is great. And that's the first thing we have to offer with respect to the praise of Hashem. And if we're offering praises to Hashem, that the name of Hashem is great. But let's not stop there. If you share with the Radak, very interesting idea as to exactly who is offering the praise. And classically speaking, one would understand it to just be Klal Yisrael. But the Radak says more than that. When you see in verse 1, Avdei Hashem, so that includes one specific category. Shehem Yodim Lahale Lefichach Masam Hasagasam B'Yediyah Shmo. Who is that? Who is that? They're first. They're the Yirei Hashem. They're the first. They're the ones who fear God. They're the Chachamim. They're the ones who know. They know. They understand how to offer the right praises according to their understanding of what and who God is, and through their own wisdom. Then says the Radak, "What's he shem Hashem mevorach? Yehi mevorach bepi hanevraim." That he should be praised in the mouths, by the mouths, or with the mouths of the creations. Why? Because all people who have knowledge, who have wisdom, the ability to think, are obligated to praise him and to bless him for all time. And then, Mimizrach Shemesh Amvuo, says the Radak, Kol b'nei ha'adam, all people, Shehein min ha'mizrach, Yad Hamarav, from the east to the west, Kulam Yehaleluhu. They all have to offer his praises. Ki afa pi sheyesh bohem ovdei kochavu mazalos, even though it is the case that amongst them they have idol worshippers, Hakol Modim, all would have to agree, ki hu hasiba ha'elyona, that he is above all of them. And he is sort of the reason above all of them. That is to say, as we learned in other sections of Nach and Tanakh, that the nations of the world had a recognition of the God of the Jews in some light, in some capacity, and at certain points were quite afraid of God. And so there's a sense of reverence, which the Radak is sort of using to say that you understand that in a certain level, and you are also obligated to offer praises. So you get a sense in the first about all times and all places, and the way the Radak reads it, all people as well. Moving into stanza 2, or section 2, 4, 5, and 6, Ram al kol goyim Adonai al hashamayim kivodo. Hashem is above all the nations. His glory, his honor, is above the heavens. We'll see what al hashamayim means in a moment, and maybe a little bit further. Here in section 2, we're learning about Hashem, about who Hashem is, where Hashem is. It's not the same as verse 1 that had shame, shame, shame. Here, not the idea of the word shame Hashem, here you have a sense of the place of God, in a sense above things and below things, and where God is in relation to others. You have Ram, and you have Al Hashemayim, you have Hamagbihi and Hamashpili, right? You have all these different types of languages of raising up, of lowering down, right? And you'll see that sense of about Hashem and where Hashem is. And it goes as follows: Ram al kol goyim Adonai al Hashemayim kivodo. Hashem is above all of the other nations. Which we mentioned just previously, sort of a nice continuation. All the good says the Radak, Kol Agoyim Yiromimuhu, Afal Pikein Kvodo Haniflahu Al Hashemayim. It's on the heavens. Ki Hashemayim Vatzva Utzvaam Vahamalachim, the heavenly bodies and the angels, Hem Yasigu Yosim Mikvodo. They will understand more of his glory. Vehem Yedul Romeim Oso Lahagi Kvodo Yosef Yoser. They'll be able to understand and to offer a sort of a sense of understanding greater than anyone who is below. The possibility of understanding it even a little bit further. It's hard to say that Al Hashamayim means above. How do we understand that it's above the heavens? Perhaps it means a sense of being just simply over the heavens, a sort of a dominion over the heavens, al hashamayim, right? Al hashamayim. That afilu hashamayim utzva'am lo yosigu kvodo, says the Radak, that to say that it's above the heavens in the sense that it's actually above the heavens is hard for us to grasp. But to say that it's above the heavens in the sense that even the heavens can't grasp it, so that's possibly the case, and it means then that it is higher than what the heavens seem to offer, and that it's beyond our hasaga, beyond our understanding, to the level of the heavens. Mi kadonai Eloheinu hamagbi lashaves. Who is like Hashem, right? Hashem Elokeinu. Now it's Hashem Elokeinu. Who is like Hashem Elokeinu, our God, hamagbihi lasheves, that sits enthroned on high, that sits above us all, that sits in a place above all the others, hamashpid liros bashamayim va'aretz, that looks down from the heavens to the earth. A beautiful image. You sort of have the king sitting in his throne, raised above, and perhaps even perceived as removed from his subjects. And yet here you see a king who cares deeply about his people, who reaches down, who looks down from his seat on high, looks down to see where the people are, where the people are. To share with you just another really beautiful radak, the way to understand it is makbi lashaves vashamayim, and then mashpil liros ba'aretz. Right? Hashem sits up high in heaven, and then he looks down from those heavens, down into the earth, down to who we are and where we are. And a very beautiful image, the sense of God being removed from us, and at the same time God being connected to us and being careful, caring of us and mindful of us, which leads very beautifully into the third section of 7, 8, and 9. 7, 8, and 9 work for us in understanding about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu works towards us and the beauty of the relationship of God to His subjects, to His people. What does God do? Mikimi me'ofar dal me'ashpos yarim evyon. Hashem raises up the poor from the dust, from the garbage yarim evyon, from the garbage He raises up the needy. And not only does he simply take them out of a negative state, of a terrible, horrible situation. Doesn't stop there. Lehoshivi im nidivim. He then sets him down with the princes. Im nidive amo, with the princes of his nation. Right? The great people, the people who are his leaders. Moshivi akeres habayis. He makes the barren woman who dwells in the home Aim habanim smecha, as a joyful mother of children, and then again, hallelujah at the end. What you have is the sense that Hashem is involved at a greatly unique and personal level with everyone in His people. He takes the destitute, He takes the poor, and He raises them up. And not only does He raise them up, says the Radak, not only does he not simply raise them up from their destitute state, but rather that he raises them up, that they're now sitting with the Nedivim, with the princes. What it says in Nedivim Amo, the princes of his nation, because they are above all the others in the other nations and all the other people. The Divi Amo, the princes of the Jewish people, are on a higher plane, in a higher place than all the others. And now he's equating man to man. He's equating people who, by virtue of simply having different social status, does not make them different from each other. And they can sit together, and they can be compared together, and they can be united together. And the notion in the last verse about the Akeres Habayis, the barren woman, so that can be taken directly from the text, which we'll share with you in a moment, but also can be viewed from a sort of an allegorical sense. The Rashi takes it as follows: Akeres Habayis. Who is the Akeres Habayis? Tzion, Zion, Israel. Shehi ki akara. It's like a barren woman. Ein habanim smecha, right? The mother of children is happy, says Rashi, quoting from Yeshayahu. Ki chala gam yalda Tzion esbanea. Desirous of our children, wanting of her children, happy with her children. Different commentaries sort of taken different ways. Sforno is in line with the Rashi. Yerushalayim v'chol artsa akeres habayis. Who is that? That's Yerushalayim v'chol artsa. It's devoid of her children. When it's devoid of her children, it simply cannot survive. It simply cannot be. But at the same time, Ibn Ezra connects it k'divrechana, like the mother, like a real mother, without specifically uniting it to a singular place in a singular time, but simply understanding the beauty of the image of a mother who is barren, who is desperate for a child, famously Chana. K'divrei Chana, says the Ibn Ezra, ki simachti b'shua secha. I am joyous with your redemption, she says. All of these things, all of this, all these relationships, these connections, so those are worthy of praise. They're the intimate relationship that we have with God, the sense of God being out there in the world, being above the world in a certain sense, and at the same time being totally connected to us, totally connected to us. And that's where Hallel begins. We're beginning to talk about the praises of Hashem, we're beginning to talk about the idea of our experience in our sojourn out of Egypt and in the Midbar and so on and so forth, and as we continue to go forward to the other holidays, but as we go forward in our world, is the sense of understanding God's greatness in the world, the mastery and the power of God in the world, the Shem Hashem and the praise and the blessings that need to be offered to Hashem, at the same time fully grasping and feeling and connecting to what it is that Hashem brings to us personally. Continue tomorrow with Kufyud Dalid 114.